You certainly are a demonstration of that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, the other day I was driving and I got to the stoplight and it was red and I stopped and I waited and the light turned green and I started to go through it. And here came someone barreling through and I had to slam on the brakes. And I have to tell you, my thoughts were not exactly ministerial. I thought, where is that policeman when you need him? I hope that person gets what they deserve. They're never around when you want them, and it's just not fair. Don't we do that? So I have a little story for you from the book of Matthew, verse 20, and it's the parable, you've probably all heard it, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. Well, I, being who I am, had to look up how much a denarius was, and you guys, it's 16 cents. And so about the third hour, he went out and he saw some more people standing there, and he said to them, "You can also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you what it's worth." And so they went. And he went out again in the sixth hour and the ninth hour and again in the 11th hour. And he still found people standing around. And he said, "What are you doing standing around all day when there's work to be done? Go work in my vineyard." And they said, "Well, no one has hired us." And he said, "Well, go work in my vineyard and I will pay you whatever is right." And so when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, he said, "Call those workers in. It's time for us to pay them, and we will pay the last ones first and the first ones last." And so those people that came in the 11th hour, he paid them a denarius. And the people who came and were there at the first hour said, "That's not fair. Those men who were hired only worked for 1 hour, and you gave them equal pay to those of us who bore the burden and worked in the heat all day today." And he said, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. If I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you, it doesn't matter whether you think they deserve it. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am so generous?" So one of the things that this tells us is it's really not our place to compare, because don't we do that a lot? We see what other people have, what they've accomplished and what they've gotten, and we think we work just as hard as they are, and it's not fair. I deserve more. And the truth is, those workers did agree to work for a specific wage, and that's what their intention was. They were working for that denarius, and that's exactly what they got. And that's what we do as well. We set our intention for what we think we deserve, and guess what? That's exactly what we get. It is also true, the story behind one of the stories behind this story is that this parable is telling us it doesn't matter when we come to our understanding of our connection with the divine, if we do it when we're 10 or if we do it when we're 80. When we do it, we get to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven that is within us and around us and that we are part of. There is no time or space. It simply is. Ernest Holmes in This Thing Called Life says, "The answer to our needs lies not in God's willingness, but in our will to accept, in our ability through faith to recognize the divine presence as the great reality of life. The power of God within us is like a sleeping giant which must be awakened that it may spring into action." And he tells us we can learn to be happy. We can learn to be successful. We can learn to create our own good. We can learn to be influential. We can learn all of those things when we recognize our oneness with the divine. We can create our own destiny. And in addition, we can be a help to others, can't we? When we get our life together, it's so much easier to help someone else. It is a powerful, powerful thing to learn that the power of the divine is ours to use every day. It's ours to use in every moment. What we need to remember is that we are individualized expressions of God. And the other thing that we need to remember is those material things that we judge others and our self-worth by are temporary things. Kingdoms are born and they're lost. Jobs are gotten and they're lost. Relationships come and go. We have our children, they grow up and they move away. The material things in our life are temporary. Entire civilizations have fallen. And it is up to us to go through it. The law of life exists. You are one with it. What is permanent in your life is your connection to God. What is permanent in your life is your ability to create good in your life. The God, the universe, the Great Spirit, the One, whatever it is you call it, is looking to express itself through us, through you, through me, through everyone. It is looking to bring itself into expression. There is an energy and a substance in which each and every one of us are a part of. We're not separate, we just think we are. We're part of that energy. It moves through us. It moves through everything that exists. And we, in this philosophy, we believe that we, as we come into the acceptance of our divinity, can learn to create good in our lives every day, all the time, as long as we keep the faith in our ability to do so. That energy is a part of us, and it is a part of everything that exists. The power exists, and we are one with it. And Ernest Holmes commented that if you carry your light, if you carry a light into the darkened room, you don't have to do anything for it to dispel the darkness. You simply carry the light. Well, the truth is the same is true about you. If you are the light in that darkened room, there is nothing else you have to do but to be that light, because you will help dispel the darkness. There is a divine presence, and that power exists, and we are one with it. Isn't it true, if you're around someone who you know has a really deep connection with spirit, you can feel it. You can feel it. When you sit in their presence, you can feel that calmness and that peace and that love. It just kind of exudes from every pore, doesn't it? The truth is, God is intelligence. And God, and there is not a God for the Catholics and a God for the Baptists and the God for the religious scientists and for the Jews. There's one God, and we are all a part of it. And sometimes we lose sight of that. My God's better than yours. We lose sight of that. We lose sight of the fact that God is the intelligence that animates everything in existence, including us, including what happens in our lives. And so oftentimes we have things come up in our lives that are less than pleasant, right? And so we try to rectify the situation. We do our best. We call in our friends. We do all these things. But have you tried God? We usually turn to God as a last resort, don't we? Yeah, nothing else has worked, so I guess now I'm going to take it to God. What if we took it to God first? What if we took it to God first? What we see is as God here in this particular philosophy is not God as a theory. It's God as our existence. It's God as the essence in which we live. It is God that is a power that we can use to create good in our lives. This presence exceeds human affairs. We are not limited. We are not limited by our humanity. When we realize that God is not some airy fairy thing, but that it is a power that we can use to create what we want in our lives, then we are getting more powerful. God is life, not just my life or your life, but God is all life. And God is energy. all energy, and God is action, all action, and God is power, all power. God is spirit, and it fills the space, and it animates you, and it animates me, and it is the truth of our being. If God fills all space, it has to fill us, doesn't it? Because aren't we part of all space? It is said that Jesus healed the sick and stilled the winds and that he fed thousands. And do you ever wonder why sometimes you can't do that? Because didn't he say, this too you shall be able to do? Didn't he tell us that? But he also told us a couple of other things when he was talking about this more abundant life and this deeper peace. He told us the power of God is always there for us, always there for us. He told us that the power of God is love and life. And he told us that the only thing that keeps us from performing those miracles is our lack of faith. Our lack of faith, because we don't really believe that we can do it. In that song, in this very room, there's quite enough love for all the world and quite enough peace and quite enough power. And that is telling us God is that power and there's quite enough for all of us to use it. Jesus said that if you wish to do what I am doing, follow the few simple truths that I have given you. I told you that the kingdom of God is at hand. You do not see it because you're filled with fear. Your eyes are so filled with tears you cannot see, and your ears are so dulled with confusion that you cannot hear. What we need to do is to open our hearts, to hear with our hearts and to see with our spiritual eyes and understand and look, as Jesus did, beyond the material to the spiritual world. Look beyond the material to the spiritual world. Are you making the most of your life? Are you accepting all the good that God has in store for you? Ernest Holmes told a story about the fish, and probably many of you have already heard it. This fish was surrounded by water, and it swam to the north, and it swam to the south, and to the east, and to the west, in search of the waters of life. He was endeavoring to discover where they were and how to approach them. Perhaps some wise old fish had said, it's come down through the ages. In ancient times, our ancestors knew about this wonderful ocean of life. They prophesied that one day we too would live in the water of life happily forever. And so the fish all get together and they're wiggling their tails and they're looking wise and mysterious and chanting, oh, water, 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 we beseech you to reveal yourself to us. We beseech you to flow through and around us. And don't we do the same thing with God? We beseech you, oh, Father God, please show me. Show me where you are. I can't see you. The fish could not see the water because he was in it. And we are the same, aren't we? We don't see God because we are in it. It permeates every cell and fiber of our being. When we understand that we are expressions of the divine, then we understand that's all there is. There's only God. We don't have to look for it. We're in it all the time. We are life, and we are loved by life, and we deserve all the good that God has for us. We are dear to it. We are dear to it. And we know that God can do anything, don't we? There are no limitations. There are no restrictions. It's perfect. It's within us. Everything you have ever wanted for your higher good, everything that you desire for your higher good is available to you when you let go of the fear, when you open your heart, when you open your mind, and you listen to that whispering, the divine telling you, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You are a center where life is passing through. You're an individualized expression of God, and all the good that you desire is yours. When you let go of that fear, when you open your hearts, when you open your minds, when you hear with true hearing and not with fear, you are a center of life. There is no one else that will ever be like you. No one has been, and no one will be. You are a unique, divine expression of God. Embrace it. Embrace yourself. So what I'd like you to do right now is just to close your eyes for a moment and stop. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and pause long enough to sense that divine within you. Time enough to sense the God within you and to believe in it. And I'm going to give you your homework a little early right now because I'm going to ask you to do this every day. Every day I want you to do this. I want you to pause, breathe in, and sense that divine within you. And as you accept that as the nature of who you are, as you accept that as the truth of your being, your life will get bigger and better and more perfect for you. How can it not? And the interesting thing is that every single one of us is part of God, including the atheists, whether they believe it or not. What is, it doesn't matter. What is. So we can recognize then that this day, this hour, this minute, right now, we have an opportunity to begin to use power rightly. We have an opportunity to recognize and define ourselves as individualized expression of God, worthy of all that God has to offer for us. It is through our faith, it is through our spiritual practices that we can get all that life has to offer us, the best of life. God, think about this, God is always there. God never moves. We do. And we move away from God, and then we come back. And then we move away from God, and something happens, and we come back. But God is constant. It is always there, waiting for us to recognize it. And when we recognize it, that is when we begin to sense the truth of our being. It, you know, this is the time of year. This is the time of year that spirit responds to our thought. And what I think of is Charlie Brown and Lucy. You know, that cartoon, I think, started in 1950. And Charlie Brown always was going to kick the football, and Lucy would hold it for him. And then she would say to him, "I wouldn't lie to you, Charlie. I'm not going to move it." And then when he'd go to kick it, you know, he knew she was going to move it. That was what his thought was. He knew she was going to move it, and so she would, and he would fall. Well, once he was in the hospital in one of the years, I don't know what year it was, and Lucy promised him if he would get well, she wouldn't move the football. And so she held it for him, and she didn't move it, and he missed it anyway, because in his mind, he had set the intention that he would never be able to kick the football if Lucy was holding it. And sure enough, that's what happened. And don't we all have those hidden beliefs? And we try to convince ourselves we don't have them. But the truth is, we have these hidden beliefs that keep us from moving forward to whatever it is we want, because we know that just can't happen to me. It just can't. Now, Ernest Holmes tells us God is like the sun. It shines. And it is up to us to come out of the shadows. It is up to us to come out in the daylight. It is up to us to be open and receptive to receive the good and the warm and the love that God has to offer, just as it is up to us to go out in the sun or to stay in the shade. We get to open the windows of our soul. We get to open the doors to our mind. We get to choose to accept the good that God has for us, because the good is there. The sun is shining. We get to choose whether we're going to go out there and accept it or not. Ernest also tells us that the mind is like a magnet. The mind is like a magnet, and whatever thoughts you put into it, that's what you attract to yourself. The mind is like a magnet, and so what we want to do is we want to cultivate our mind. And that's what we use our spiritual practices here to do, isn't it? We use it to cultivate our mind to good, to change our thinking, to change our life. We say it sounds pretty trite, but the truth of the matter is when we cultivate our mind, when we change our thinking, we can accept our good. God is always within us waiting. It's just waiting for us to accept our good, and we kind of ignore it sometimes. Jesus told us that the kingdom of God was within us. Jesus was a great teacher. He told us that the kingdom was God was within us, and that it was up to us, each individually, to accept that inner awareness of God, to create those miracles that we want in our life. There is a principle of perfection at the center of every person's life. And the Bible tells us that. It tells us we are made in the image and likeness of God. And that is the spiritual part of us. What it says that each one of us has the use of creative imagination. Each one of us has the energy of divine mind. And as we learn to use it, we can create a greater and better life for ourselves every single day. It is up to you to begin. And think about this. What a great and new adventure we're embarking upon when we discover we are no longer limited. We are no longer limited. We are a choice to use the power of a God to create our good. We are not limited. And when we discover that God is within us, we can enter into the joy of living and not the drudgery of it. We can enter into the joy. Let us give the best then to each experience that we have. Let us give the best of ourselves. Let us see through the appearance and see to the truth that God is present everywhere in all things, even when it's hard to detect. Choose our words wisely. Life works according to the law, and the law creates according to our words and our beliefs. Now, in Psalms 46, it says, "Be still. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. All things are possible to God. Therefore, we should affirm the truth in spite of the appearance." Our thoughts and our words are powerful tools that we can use to create. We can use to create things. We can use to create circumstances. Our thoughts are tools, and we need to use them wisely to bring good and more good into our lives and the lives of the people around us. We can have all the good in our lives when we are willing to accept our good. We are children of the divine. Whole, perfect, and complete. And we deserve all the good that God has to offer us. I know that as you accept your good, you will get what you deserve. So your homework for this week is to go and practice the presence of God within you and to understand, I know you will get what you deserve. I know that you will get what you deserve. Because you are an individualized expression of the divine. And so I bless you and I love you. And I ask you to please join me in prayer.